Good afternoon. As we study upon things that we're supposed to, you know, realize are important, then that's one of the big problems I find that people have, is knowing what really is a matter of faith, is a matter of importance, and what's just generally a matter of opinion. So many times I visit people or talk to them, and I must endure, if I want to be kind to them, just endless discussions, it seems, on things that don't really amount to a whole lot. And people, it seems, are so interested in these matters. I thought that it would be good then for us to every now and then take a look at matters of faith and matters of opinion. So as we look at different issues, then we're going to come across these and compare them to what the Bible says and ask the question, is it faith or is it opinion? So let's look at the first one, which is a very hot button issue in politics. Taxes. Are taxes, that is the level of taxation, issues surrounding taxation, which are so often argued in politics, are these matters of faith or matters of opinion? The answer to this, in short, is that taxes, whether they are great or small, are matters of opinion, and that a Christian can live with either high taxation or with little or no taxation. That with a Christian, it does not really so much matter whether you have one or the other, as it matters whether or not you are doing your duty toward God. Some passages I would like for us to look at in connection with this. In Matthew 17, beginning at verse 24, we find a real neat passage that at first I thought meant that Jesus was a little bit reluctant to pay his taxes, but did it anyway. You know, did it but didn't like it, like a lot of us do. But now I realize that it's probably teaching us a different message about the lordship of Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Son of the Father on high. It says in Matthew 17 that when they were come to Capernaum, that they received tribute money, those that got the tribute money, came to Peter and said, "Does not your master pay tribute?" He said, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute?" He's talking about taxes here. Who do they tax? "Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first comes up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give it unto them for me and thee." Jesus paid his tax here. But at the same time, he points out that the children of the king are free. In other words, the king doesn't send around tax collectors to receive money from them. So, when these evidently Jews came around to receive of their countrymen these taxes, Jesus points out, I'm the Son of the Father on high. I'm really exempt from this tax. But he pays it anyway so that he might avoid the offense. If all of us had that same attitude as Jesus expresses here in Matthew 17, then a Christian would not have a difficulty with a lot of or a little bit of tax. Either way, they would find themselves just serving God. Neither would a Christian express themselves as a Christian and say, "Well, I believe in a whole lot of tax," or "I believe in a little tax," as a Christian, because really it doesn't really matter. It's not a matter of faith. Now, whatever it is that the government wants you to pay, you should be willing to pay it as a matter of obligation to do whatever the powers that be tell you to do. In Romans chapter 13, the Bible points out to us that we are to be afraid of the power. In other words, if we are directed to do something, to pay taxes or custom or whatever it is, then we are to do that. And as you read the first few verses, or really the first half of Romans 13, this is made abundantly clear. The state has the authority to tax. Now, what if I don't like it? After all, many of our forefathers didn't like a whole lot of taxation either, did they? Well, you may not like it, but you've still got to do what you're told. You say, "Well, you're condemning our forefathers then for rebelling for a matter of opinion." Well, if you think that our forefathers were rebelling purely because of the matter of taxation, then you simply haven't studied your history and the origins of our country very closely. There were many reasons why they rebelled. The taxation was simply in the mix. So if you look at the issue, if you ask, "Well, could I, you know, take up arms or be violent against somebody over my level of taxation?" Well, as a Christian, no. Because as a Christian, whether you have a little bit of taxes or a lot of taxes, you may not lack many of them, but the fact is that a Christian does what they are told. Once again, Romans 13. And a Christian does what God tells them, and God says, pay your tax. Well, you say, well, but am I not also obligated to do what God tells me as far as giving a contribution? Now, what if I have to give in the contribution and I don't have enough money left for tax? Well, you're acting as if there's a conflict when there doesn't have to be. If you are taxed so much that there is an inability to give anything in the church's contribution, then you could leave. The fact is, of course, is that here in the good old U.S. of A., we are blessed with not too many taxes at all compared to the rest of the world, you see. And so since we don't have a heavy level of taxation compared to them, then you do have money that you can give both to the state and to your God. And you set aside that money that God wants, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and you give according to what you have earned. And, you know, the state comes along and they'll get their share as well. Now, most people, this isn't really much of an issue because their taxes are taken out automatically. But, you know, if not, then you have to make yourself, you know, planned and prepared to pay when the government demands their money. Well, you say, well, what if I had lived in a different area, though? Or what if, you know, we were in a time in which there was just an incredible level of taxation? Well, like I said then, I would just probably leave so that I could live for God in an area where I would be able to give more, you know, to Him. And this also brings up an issue, though, of, well, let's say the government comes in and they take so much off the top. And let's say it was a bunch. You know, let's say they took half of my money. Do I pay to God the amount before my taxes were taken out and say, well, I'm going to give to God, you know, 10%. I plan to give God 10%. Let's say you did that. And the government comes in and they take about half of your money. Do I give them 10% before the government took out that or after the government took it out? You know, some people, I believe, truly do wonder about this in their minds. And the problem is that when you think about it that way, then you're wrong right off the get-go. You're wrong. There's no way you can consider following the command of God to give as you have been prospered, as you read about in the 1st and 2nd Corinthian letters, and then turn around and say, well, all right, I'm going to give only this percentage, and boy, I better not catch myself giving any more than that. It's not really an issue of your percentage. It's an issue of whether or not you're a giver, whether or not you are truly giving as you've been prospered. Now, to those who aren't making any money, children, for example, things like that, then we don't lay upon them the obligation to give. But those who have been blessed by God, then certainly they give according to their level of prosperity, but also they give according to their willingness to sacrifice unto the Lord. Consider the poor widow who cast in two mites, and Jesus said she gave more than all of them. Her giving was based upon her desire and her faith in God to take care of her. So for you to ask the question, do I base it upon my gross income? Do I base it upon, you know, my net income before tax, after tax? That's asking the wrong question. Taxes are a matter of opinion. The attitude and the spirit of giving and giving unto the Lord as you have been prospered, that is the matter of faith, and it can only be answered deep within your heart, not based upon me giving you a certain percentage of your income, but based upon your true desire. So, it's important for us to make a distinction between matters of faith and matters of opinion. A Christian could either support heavy taxation or little taxation. A Christian can either like it or not like it. Either way, they do what the state tells them to do, Romans chapter 13. Either way, you give according to the prospering that the Lord has given to you. And the Bible makes that absolutely clear, like I said, in the letters of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, beginning around there in 1st Corinthians chapter 16, which obligates us to give on the first day of the week. Well, I thank you for listening to the message this afternoon. Won't you think about it? Won't you consider it deeply within your heart? And if there's any way that I can help you further with it, or we can be of any assistance at all from the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, give us a call at 487-5342. Write to us at P.O. Box 266 here at Tompkinsville, Kentucky, 42167. For the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, I'm Tim McHenry.